This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chaz. When I want to listen to a show with practical information from an everyday guy who can't carry a cop just like me, I listen to my good friend Bob Main. Now on with the show.
Hi everybody, I'm Bob Main with episode number 397 of the Handgun World podcast. Coming to you from the Handgun World mobile studio in the pouring rain in San Antonio, Texas. But I'm being a safe driver here and talking to you about guns. Well, this is going to be kind of a short episode. I've been real stressed out lately with my family situation. I mean, you know, not... Well, you guys know what it is that I'm going through if you've been living, listening to me long enough. But doing these podcasts is kind of an escape for me. So I'm looking forward here to talking to you, but it might be a little bit of a short episode. But some things on my mind about guns that I want to discuss with you. So this episode's called The Gun You Always Have. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And I am like a lot of people. I love different kinds of firearms. I love all different kinds. I like buying and selling them and trying them and trading them off and seeing what works for me and figuring out what doesn't work that I'll never pick up and try to carry or shoot again and what does work and what's kind of in between that works but I'm still trying to get used to it. But above all that, and maybe you found yourself in that situation, have you? But above all that, I want to talk about the gun that you always have. And I think that's the most important gun that there is. And this is something that's been said thousands of times by thousands of people, but I believe it bears repeating, which is why I want to dedicate this episode to it. No matter what gun you have, as long as it's reliable, if it's the kind of firearm that you always have with you, I think it's the best gun at that moment for you to have. You've heard so many people after a defensive gun use will say things like, I'm glad I had a gun. Thank God I had a gun. You know, they'll say things like that. This gun saved my life. If I hadn't had the gun, I wouldn't be here today. Sometimes they don't even have to fire the gun to have success defending themselves. See, that's what's interesting. Sometimes you don't even have to fire the gun to have success defending yourself. So, the gun you have, and what is it? You know, some people carry a little pocket 380s. Occasionally, I carry a little pocket-sized 380. You guys have heard me talk about most of the time, if I'm going to carry a pocket 380, I carry a little car P380, car arms P380. Love that little gun. It's reliable, soft shooting for a pocket 380. And well done conceals. Like, it's unbelievable. My wallet's bigger than the gun, plain and simple. My wallet is bigger than the gun. Cool. You know, my iPhone is a whole lot bigger than that gun. So, is that ideal? Not at all. I'm a firearms instructor as well. Do I encourage people to everyday carry a pocket 380? Nope. I'll never encourage you to everyday carry a pocket 380 for several reasons. And by the way, I'm not going to start saying that 380 is an anemic cartridge that won't do anything but you know, piss the bad guy off and it's, you know, won't stop anything. That's all a bunch of hooky garbage. It is. It really is a bunch of stupid nonsense talk. You know, there you could find lots of defensive gun uses where the people defended themselves with 380s. There's a defensive gun use. I can't remember all of the details. But it was a couple. It was a married couple that checked into a hotel room, and they were, I think they had an intruder break into their hotel room. And they both defended themselves with 380 pistols. They did a good job defending themselves with a 380. So all this nonsensical talk that you're just going to piss the bad guy off and he's going to get even more mad if you shoot him with a 380, give me a break. There's some great 380 ammunition out there. Precision 1 makes good 380 ammo. Double Tap makes good 380. Underwood. Even Speer Gold Dot 380. It's pretty good stuff. So there's a lot you can find out there, and there's plenty of other good rounds in 380 as well. Ammunition is getting so good. Now, should that be your everyday carry? No. You can do better if you can just conceal a gun, make a little bit more effort to conceal a gun. I can conceal a Car PM9 or a Glock 43 pretty much as easily as I can conceal anything else. For me now, PM9s, Glock 43s, Shield 9mm, those for me are belt carry guns. I don't pocket carry those things. I could, but I don't. If I'm going to pocket carry, I'm going to pocket a little semi-automatic 380, or I'm going to, you know, try to get a hold of a J-frame or something like that, a lightweight J-frame and a revolver, and pocket carry that. Which would be a far better choice than a 380, and a far better choice than, like a J-frame revolver would be, or even, you know, a small 9mm. But if you can't conceal it, you can't conceal it. And the gun you always have is the superior gun. And the gun that you have on you at the time that the attack occurs, that the bad guy decides that he wants to kill you, that he wants to rape you, he wants to maim you, he wants to kidnap your kids or assault you or assault your children or all kinds of nasty things. And I know I might be scaring some people, you know, but hey, look, if you're listening to this, because I know I have a lot of new gun owners that listen to this, and some people are just, you know, kind of accepting the fact that they got to take responsibility for themselves and conceal carry and all that. I'm going to talk reality with you. I'm going to lay it on the line. I always like to do that. I don't like to try to sugarcoat things and make things sound better than they really are. We live in a world of ISIS terrorism. We live in the world of a lot of mentally ill people. We live in a world of a lot of killers and thugs and rapists. I'm sorry. Sorry if that is negative to you, but it's the truth. And the truth has to be talked about. It has to be talked about a lot. So as you can tell, by the way, you might be hearing the rain hitting my car. I'm driving in the pouring rain in the great city of San Antonio, Texas. You can probably tell from the tone of my voice and the subject matter and the tone of this podcast episode, I'm not having a good day. But like I said, I haven't been having a very good 3 or 4 days. But this is good, like I said, it's a good way for me to get my mind off of my problems and talk about other things that really matter out there. Like making sure that I always save my life and that I always carry around this cheap insurance policy. This cheap life insurance policy called a gun. It's an inexpensive, specific life insurance policy. The reason I say specific is because it's going to be your insurance policy in specific life-threatening situations. In very specific life-threatening situations. And so even if you pick up a, like the new Ruger LCP2, I'm leaving a gun show, and I went over to see Ben Branham and say hi at the gun show here in San Antonio, the Saxit Gun Show. And I saw the new Ruger LCP2. pretty cool little pocket gun. Pretty cool little pocket gun for less than $300. Wow. A quality little pocket 380 for less than $300. They let me dry fire it, and it was nice. A good trigger. Nice little trigger on that. That's probably, of all pocket 380s out there, with the exception of the single action 380s or car arms pistols, I'd say that's that Ruger LCP2 has probably got the best trigger on those little pocket 380s that I've ever had the chance to dry fire. That was great. Nice. And they got nice texturing on the grip and pretty decent, real, usable sights on that gun. Kind of cool stuff. So even if that's what you're carrying, that is the superior gun in your situation if you really need it. And I've always said that something like that little Ruger LCP2 that is in your pocket, or even if it's inside your waist or a belly band or on your ankle or wherever you choose to carry a little gun like that, that gun is better than the nice, big, expensive 45 sitting in your safe at home. When that stink hits the fan, that Ruger LCP is a superior gun to whatever big, fancy, nice, wonderful guns you have in your safe. And, hey, I have nice, big, fancy, wonderful guns in my safe. I happen to be carrying one of them today, my Sig Sauer P229 Legion. God, I love this gun. I love it. What a terrific gun. I can't say anything bad about this gun. I've been carrying it and shooting it now. How long have I owned this thing? Probably 4 months? 4 or 5 months, maybe? I can't find anything wrong with the gun. I mean, I don't mean mechanically. Mechanically, the thing is wonderful. It's sound. It's a terrific mechanical machine, this Sig Sauer P229 Legion series. Yeah, it was expensive, but it was worth every dollar I paid for it. Just a sweet pistol. Carrying it today. In an outside the waistband, Concealment Solutions Cobra holster. Love it. Concealment Solutions is not only a sponsor of this podcast, but the Self Defense Radio Network. You can get 10% off just by using the coupon code SDRN when you check out. So use that coupon code. Preferably, go to my show notes. Find the link that says Concealment Solutions. Find that link, Concealment Solutions, and click that when you place your order and use the coupon code SDRN to get 10% off. SDRN means Self Defense Radio Network. But you can just abbreviate it, SDRN. So I got these nice fancy guns in my safe. Other fancy guns in my safe that don't do a bit of good but take up room in my safe if I'm not carrying them. And you know, currently at this time, there is only one firearm. I'm talking about a pistol now. I'm not talking about rifles here for a minute. I'll talk about rifles in a little bit. There's only one firearm, one handgun, let me say it that way, that I don't carry on a regular basis that I own. Okay, that's a Glock 34. I'm not saying that the Glock 34 is not a good carry gun. For some people, they like carrying a Glock 34. I don't carry a Glock 34 because it's just too big when I can carry a Glock 19, which is, it'll do just about everything for me that a Glock 34 will do for me. Not quite, but pretty close. My Glock 34 with Dawson fiber optic, red fiber optic, Dawson Precision Sights Gen 4 Glock 34. That's my IDPA competition gun, which I haven't been shooting much lately, but I'm going to start shooting it more. Well, it's my competition gun, not just for IDPA, but for really any kind of competition that I want to get into. Other than that, that's the only gun that doesn't at some point find its way on my body to be carried. And I'm still a firm believer in carrying the same type of style of gun all the time. So, you know, maybe it's a polymer striker fired. Maybe it's a 1911. Maybe it's a double action, single action. And then, of course, today I'm violating my own rule. You know what's great about having my own rules is I also have the prerogative to violate them. Well, but if I'm going to violate a rule, I make sure that I practice enough with that gun that I can save my life with it. And I've practiced enough with this Sig Sauer double action pistol. I'm confident I can save my life with it. 95% of the time, I'm carrying some type of a polymer striker fired. If I do slide that Car 380 in my pocket or that PM9, slide it inside the waistband, it's striker fired. Just has a little bit different type of trigger pull. But I'm talking about mainly carry a gun in terms of safeties, carry the same type all the time. So in other words, if you like a gun, like a 1911 with a thumb safety and a grip safety, fine. Carry that type of gun all the time. If you're a 1911 lover, then your pocket gun would probably be something like a Colt Mustang or a Sig Sauer P-238 or P-938 or the small little Kimber 1911 style 380. Because even though those little tiny guns like that, even though those are not true 1911s, they're sort of like a 1911. They're enough like a 1911 where you're familiar with that manual of arms. You're familiar with how to draw that thing quickly, how to put, you know, how to operate all the controls on it quickly. I mean, within split seconds. How to put rounds on target in less than 2 seconds so you can save your life. Stick with that. If you like revolvers, if you like revolvers, stick with revolvers for carry. If that's what you shoot most of the time. That's my suggestion. Because you want to, in my opinion, you want to eliminate the amount of thinking that you have to do in a gunfight. And you want to maximize the amount of reacting in a gunfight. Because at first, in the first few seconds of a gunfight, if it's not over, that whole event is a reactionary event. Would you agree? You're reacting. If you're a civilian like me, not ex-law enforcement, not ex-military, I mean, you're not current law enforcement or current military, you're not, maybe you're ex-law enforcement, but you're back to being a civilian now. You're probably going to be in a reactionary situation. Not an offensive, you're not going to be bringing the fight to the bad guy. He's going to bring the fight to you. And then I hope you're prepared to bring the fight back to him. That's what I'm talking about. So you got to maximize the reaction and minimize the thinking. So even if you have to take a second to think about, let's see, what kind of gun am I carrying right now? Do I have my 1911 or do I have my double action, single action? Or do I have a revolver? Or do I have a striker fired? And which way does this safety go? I forgot now. Am I carrying my 1911 where I press down on the safety? Or am I carrying my Beretta where I got to press up on the safety? Oh, I can't remember. You don't want to be thinking about that stuff because all that stuff takes too long to think about. You could be hurt or dead by the time you figure all that stuff out. Keep it simple and keep it consistent when you're carrying. So the gun you have on you is the superior gun. And the gun you can operate and the gun that you can shoot and do well with the least amount of thinking, is also the superior gun. Would you agree with me on that? You know, study defensive gun uses. Learn how long do they take? What distance do they usually occur? How much time did the person have to react, the person defending themselves? Who started the fight? Look into all that stuff and then think about yourself being in that situation and what kind of a gun would you rather have. Often I'll be carrying my Glock 19. Let me tell you something, folks. I've shot a Glock 19 so much, I feel very confident with a Glock 19. Oftentimes I carry a Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm. Love that gun. I've shot it so much, I'm pretty good with a Shield 9mm, folks. All right? And if I have my way, those are the only two guns that I'll usually carry, but sometimes I don't have my way. As you've heard me talk about before, sometimes I'm in an environment where I'm in a corporate business meeting. Or I'm in an environment where I know that they would be very sensitive and in a negative way towards carrying guns. So I am not getting my way in that situation. I'm not controlling that situation. I am working within that situation. And so that means that as long as it's still legal for me to carry, I am maybe going to have that .380 in my pocket. Or maybe even a J-frame revolver in my pocket. Because it's got to be to where nobody will be able to figure out that I have a gun. But if the stink hits the fan while I'm in that environment that I didn't get to control, I've got something to defend myself with, and that is the superior gun. It's superior to anything else that I happen to own. It's superior to any other gun I own because I got it. Because it's with me. And the bad guy said, hey, Bob Main, you know what? You don't deserve to live today because I don't believe that you deserve to live. And so I'm going to do my best to take you out and get you out of this world and send you home to your maker and facilitate the meeting early for you to meet with your maker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bob, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now, whether you want it to happen or not. And you know what my attitude is towards that? Although, folks, although I do rejoice knowing what's going to happen to me after I die. You guys know I'm a Christian. And I am not bashful about talking about my Christian faith. I hope you don't mind that. If you quit listening to me just because I talk about my Christian faith for 30 seconds once in a while on each show, well, I think that's too bad. But even though I rejoice that I know that that day is going to come for me sometime, you know what? Mr. Bad Guy does not get to choose when that day is. And I'm not going to let him. So that car P380 is going to come out of my pocket lightning quick. And I'm going to have something to say about Mr. Bad Guy wanting the day of my demise to come on his terms. I got a lot to say about that. And I think there's a very good chance he's not going to be successful. As long as I'm paying attention. As long as I'm always aware of my surroundings. As long as I train myself to react. Again, react is the key word here. As quick as I can. And run that gun as quick as I can. And get multiple shots off as quick as I can into that bad guy to make him quit doing that and make him change his mind about trying to end my life or harm me bad or end the life of one of my loved ones that's with me. Then isn't that the superior gun? What do you think? Now, we tend to carry these small guns a lot. Do you tend to shoot those guns a lot? That's another question I have for you. Do you shoot those little bitty guns a lot? You should. I know some of them are not pleasant to shoot, but if you own it and you carry it, you better shoot it. You better shoot it a lot, and you better, even as unpleasant as it is, deal with the unpleasantness so that you know you can be effective with it and hit somebody with it. and shoot somebody, maybe you might have to shoot them more than once with it. Hey, you better be good at doing that. Because it's your life. It's your life insurance policy that you decided to carry for a very specific life-threatening event. You better be able to perform with it. And with that, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Rob Morse from the Polite Society Podcast. I took a Beyond Concealed Carry advanced class with Ben Branham, Bob Main, Chaz Murray, and Tracy Thronberg. I wish every concealed carrier took a class like this one. The class covered both basic shooting skills and advanced topics. Skills like shooting from unusual positions, shooting with one hand while moving, and shooting when in contact with the target. Those are the real skills you want if you were ever forced to use your firearm. I was impressed because I'm not the perfect student. No, far from it. I took the class because I needed competent instructors to teach me and correct my many mistakes. They did that with professional skill. I plan to train with them again.
All right, I'm back. So I want to continue this discussion here about carry guns. I also want to remind you at this point about some excellent training classes that Ben Branham and I are teaching coming up soon in January in San Antonio, April in Dallas, and February in Houston, May in Utah, June in Illinois, Wisconsin, actually right near the Illinois-Wisconsin border, August in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and also in Ohio. You can check handgunworld.com and see a listing of the classes. You can also go to selfdefenseradio.net, selfdefenseradio.net. You can get discounts on all of our training classes, and you can get discounts on the Shooters Club memberships that we offer as well. So check that out. You got to use the password on the discount webpage at selfdefenseradio.net. You got to use the password SDRN all lowercase. SDRN all lowercase. Okay, so just a few more things here about the gun you always have. Not just the gun I want to talk about, but I also want to talk about the ammunition. Now, ammunition, I think, is slightly different because a lot of us like to try to find good deals on ammunition for practice ammo. That's okay. Now, when it comes to concealed carry ammo, you got to approach it a little bit differently for the gun that you always have. So how about the ammunition you always have? Always have ammunition that your pistol will operate well, and that'll cause your gun to operate well, and that your gun likes. Now, if your small always-have gun is a revolver, this might not be so much of an issue for you, obviously. That's one area where I envy revolver shooters. Revolver shooters don't have to worry about malfunctioning magazines, and they normally don't have to worry too much about the ammo. I mean, I'm not going to say you never have to worry about low quality ammo, but the worry is less with a revolver than it is with a semi-automatic when it comes to ammo. The revolvers just are not as finicky. But always have the ammunition. And I think it's a mistake if you take my advice and go always practice with your carry gun, but then don't practice with your carry ammunition. I think that's a mistake as well. And I'm not saying you got to go to the range and shoot 200 rounds in one range trip with your carry ammo. But are you at least every trip to the range, are you at least taking your carry gun and shooting a couple magazines of carry ammunition? Or if you're shooting a revolver, how about a couple cylinders worth of ammunition? Concealed carry, hollow point, ammunition. Whatever it is that you select, and there's all kinds of great ammunition out there. So whatever you choose to select, are you shooting a lot of it? The ammunition that you always have. What a bad thing it would be for you to be on the verge of being killed, and you manage to get your gun out in time to stop the bad guy, and you fire one shot and you have a malfunction. And that malfunction occurs because you got crappy ammo, or you didn't take the time to make sure that the gun you always have shoots the ammunition you always have and runs well with that ammunition that you always have. Wouldn't that suck? Wouldn't that be a bad day? Wouldn't that really, I mean, that's, you know, if you ended up living through that, it would suck. You'd have a lot of regrets. And if you didn't live through that, your family would have a lot of regrets, and it would suck for your family. So make sure that ammunition that you always have has also been shot through that gun that you always have. And then, the last thing I want to say is that gun you always have, make sure that gun is a clean gun that you always have. Now, I hate cleaning guns. I don't know about you. How many of you listening to this right now hate cleaning guns? If you're nodding your head and saying, yeah, Bob, I'm one of those, I'm with you. I don't like it, but it's necessary. We got to do it. Sometimes in life we have to do things that we don't like, that we don't want to do, and we got to do it. Keep them clean. If you want to let your practice range toy gun get dirty, or your competition gun get dirty, as long as you don't mind a bunch of malfunctions that might be caused by a dirty gun while you're trying to win a competition match, well, then go for it. Or if you're just out at the range plinking with your friends and goofing off, safely goofing off, okay? We want to be safe when we're playing around having fun with our firearms, safely at the range with your friends, goofing off and having fun. If you want to let those guns get dirty, let them get dirty. And I'll tell you what frustrates me, and I don't like to see it. Every once in a while, I'll read on the internet, and that's the problem. See, I'm on the internet. That's the first problem, is I'm on the internet. And I'm reading stuff. On the internet where everything's true, right? Not. But people will put stuff on the internet like, well, why should I clean my gun? My Glock has gone 2,500 rounds without a cleaning. Okay, good for you. Your Glock's gone 2,500 rounds without a cleaning. Why? Why is your Glock gone 2,500 rounds without a cleaning? It's easy to clean a Glock pistol. It's easy to clean most pistols. If you got a pistol that's relatively easy to field strip, it's easy to clean the gun. Now, this is not my preferred recommended way of cleaning a gun, but even if you just take a can of gun scrubber and spray it inside your gun a lot and watch all that black stuff come out of your gun when you spray the gun scrubber in there, and then you lube your gun up after that and put it back together, that's better than not cleaning it. Again, what I just described is not my highly recommended method of cleaning a gun. But for goodness sakes, that is so ridiculously easy to do that. Do it. Keep it clean. Something that you're going to bet your life on needs to be clean and very well lubricated. Or at least lubricated according to what the manufacturer states. You know, like for example, my car arms pistols require a little bit more lubrication than Glock pistols or M&Ps or Rugers. 1911s usually, not always, but usually require a little bit more lubrication and than a typical striker-fired gun requires. It just make sure that you keep up with the maintenance that the manufacturer of your gun suggests. Hey, look, I work for a product manufacturer. Not a gun manufacturer, but I work for an electronics product manufacturer. That's my real job. I'm an outside sales for a manufacturer of electronics for hotels. We always intend to manufacture good quality product that works reliably to keep the hotel secure. Okay? Gun manufacturers are no different. Their intent is to manufacture a good quality, reliable gun that may save your life one day. So when the manufacturer makes a recommendation as to how to maintain and lubricate the gun and clean the gun, I would suggest that you do it that way. Now, if you come up with an even better way and it works, fine. But at least start with the manufacturer's recommendations and go from there. What I don't want you to do is neglect the manufacturer's recommendations, because you're playing with something that's not just a toy. It's not just something for recreation. You're playing with your life, ladies and gentlemen. You're playing with something that you're gonna ask this object to do what you want it to do whenever you press the trigger. You want it to do what it's supposed to do to save your life. That's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. Would you think so? I think that's vitally important. So maintain it. Yeah, it's just as bad as not maintaining a car, and maybe you earn your living with that vehicle. You earn your living with that vehicle and you don't maintain it, you don't keep it in good running condition, and so then you can't do your job, and then you can't make money, and maybe your job's in jeopardy because you neglected maintaining your vehicle. You don't want to do that. Same thing with your gun. You don't want to do that either. All right. Many thanks to all of you who have been supporting me by doing your Christmas shopping, your Amazon Christmas shopping, through my Amazon store. It's really helping. I'm having to save just about every dollar I can save right now because I got huge expenses coming up with my wife's health care. She's in a skilled nursing home right now, and I don't think we're going to be able to get a whole lot of assistance for her bills, which means it's going to be coming out of the family pockets. And so I could use all the help I can get from you if you do come to sign up for a class and help me out that way, or you buy an Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network membership through the Self-Defense Radio Network. And if you do that, by the way, use Paul Lathrop as the tracking code. That helps me. And some of you buy through my Amazon store. And that's really cool because you don't have to spend any extra money to do that. Just do your shopping through my Amazon store like you normally do through Amazon, and Amazon will pay me. You don't have to worry about it, but you can feel good that you're supporting the Handgun World podcast, because I hope that you feel that this show gives you enough benefit that it's worth supporting. And if you can do it in a way that doesn't cost you any extra money, how cool is that? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the show notes. You'll find a link for my Amazon store, or just go to handgunworld.com, and there's a page dedicated to my Amazon store. Click those links and go to Amazon that way. I want to finish up with this. I said a little bit about it last week, in last week's episode. I want to say more about it now. Don't rest on fighting for gun rights just because the presidential election results favors gun owners. Or at least it favors gun owners more than if Hillary Clinton would have won. Please don't relax. Please don't get lazy. Keep supporting the organizations and the people that fight for our rights. The NRA, ILA, Institute for Legislative Action at the NRA. If you're not an NRA member, become an NRA member. It doesn't cost much. Very little to become an NRA member. The Second Amendment Foundation. They fight the battle in the courts all the time for our gun rights. Your state rifle organization, local firearms rights and firearms rights organizations, support them. Support them. They need it, and they're fighting. They're helping to fight the battles for us. Please don't complain about the lack of gun rights if you're not doing something. Something, even if it's a small amount, to help out. Or even maybe just volunteer for those organizations. Because they always need volunteers to do things, too. Okay, with all that said, folks, thanks for listening to this episode called The Gun You Always Have. Hopefully you got something out of it. I would enjoy your comments. You can email me, bob@handgunworld.com. You can leave me a voicemail, especially for episode 400 coming up. I'd like to hear your feedback about my podcast on episode 400. Or you can talk about this episode. My voicemail number is 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.